Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Justine Rutolo, also known as Miss ADD. And I want to welcome everyone this evening to the Miss ADD Hour. Tonight, we're going to be discussing individuation and how that relates to attention deficit disorder. So I'm sure there are many of you out there who are wondering, what does the word individuation mean? When you think about individuals, it turns us into the adult. And I want to read something to you that I wrote for our group this past Wednesday night, The Effect of Individuation. And this is important because it explains why you would want to go through this process of growing up, even if you're 70 years old. So the individuation process brings up the true identity of self. It makes them an individual, not tethered to anyone else. Individuation has a profound healing effect on the psyche. People become adults, which help them, and this is really important, regulate their emotions and ruminations, which are the negative thoughts that constantly run through our head all day long. They are focused, calm, set goals, and follow through. They are able to take responsibility for their behaviors and embrace the need for help from other professionals. They function at a much higher level and are able to give up control of anyone except themselves. So I guess a lot of you must be asking yourself, why would something like this work? So I think what I want to do, first of all, is talk a little bit about myself to just give you some background about how this worked for me. So about 4.5 years ago, there was something that happened in my life that was very traumatic. And I was very upset and in a place of trying to figure out what I was going to do. So my husband at the time was having an affair, and I started to panic. I started to get into that place of feeling like I was really in the middle of a lot of trauma. So instead of just blaming him for all this, what I tried to do was to really look at what things that he was saying to me and how they could be true and how I could change my life. Because what I recognized during this whole thing, and thank God I was able to pull myself outside and recognize this, was that I was still very much a child. I was a child in that I would really lay all my feelings and emotions onto my ex-husband and expect him to take care of me. I was a child where, I'm even embarrassed to say that I expected my own children at times to take care of my emotions and my feelings. And so in going through this process of growing up, of becoming an individual, what I recognized was that I was able to get in control of my ADD symptoms. So I was able to follow through on things that I said I was going to do. I could set goals for myself. I was able to focus, and the focusing came from the use of mindfulness and meditation, which we've discussed in earlier podcasts, which are, by the way, on iTunes, so you can go look them up. But what I'm noticing right now is that in the group that I'm running on Wednesday nights for CHAD, Children and Adults with ADD, in Southern California, I'm noticing that a lot of the people in the group are not really picking up the mindfulness piece, the ability to stay in the moment. So when the thoughts come up during the day, what I'm noticing is that they just can't stay in the moment. And they'll tell me this in the group. So I recognize that if I had was going to work on something, it would have to be working on individuation, which would help them to grow up and then really be able to use the mindfulness more than they did before. Now, I know you would say, well, you can actually teach mindfulness to children, but yes, children are a lot easier to teach than a lot of adults with ADD. So that's something to be aware of. Okay, so I have my friend here tonight, Anthony Marino.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
You're welcome, and it's really great to have you here because we had fun last week. Last week we were talking about parenting adolescents with attention deficit. Yeah. And so I asked Anthony to come because what I wanted him to do was to talk a little bit about the fact that at – how old are you, Anthony?
31.
31. And at 31, Anthony feels like, and he and I have discussed this, that there's a part of him that's grown up and then there's another part of him that's not. So can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I remember we were actually discussing this yesterday.
Yes.
And one of the things I remember bringing up, or I felt like I kind of lacked, was at 30, even at 31, emotionally I feel like I'm kind of I have a hard time attaching.
Right.
And when it gets serious, or if I'm in a kind of a serious relationship or something of that nature happens, I tend to assume the worst, or I don't know. It's just I get really uncomfortable.
Okay.
And so one of the things that we also discussed, and I was thinking about this even recently, was that I'm the youngest in my family. And my other sister is about 32, 33, and my other sister is like 34, 35.
Right.
And none of us have ever got married, engaged.
Maybe.
We don't have any kids.
Right.
My older sister is in her maybe most serious relationship. Like, this could end in marriage, now my older sister. But as far as everybody else, none of us have ever gotten there. Remember we were talking about the reasons why that was, and a lot of it had to do, I think, with our childhood, the way we were brought up, and some of the things that really hurt, I think, all of us as children, you know, it just made us not the ability to grow up in certain areas.
Right.
Just it is not there now that I think about it completely. Like,
well, and so let's just take a step back for a minute about your childhood. And
yeah.
Because one of the things that I believe that happens is, okay, so most of us, not all of us, grew up in families. I'm 58, and a lot of the adults in this population grew up in families where there were some mental disorders.
Yeah,
okay,
right.
And I'm not necessarily saying they had to be severe, but, you know, we could have had depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
So what happens in that scenario is we become tethered to these people, whether it's mom, dad, caregiver, grandparents, whoever.
Yeah.
And take it even further back. So the attachment part when you're a little baby doesn't happen the way it's supposed to happen. Because if you think about it, if your mom or dad has a mental disorder, it's going to be very difficult for them to really attach to you in a healthy way.
It's true. You know, you see that, I think you will agree with me on this, you see that when in kids who are abused, you know, and then when they get older, they're in abusive relationships themselves, and it functions normally, you know, and that's...
Because, as they say in the world of therapy, it's called homeostasis, which means you don't want to change.
Correct.
Even though it's dysfunctional.
It's a normal thing. It's a normal part of the way you're supposed to function.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let me continue with this tethered piece. So what happens is we get tethered, and on layer on top of that, our ADD symptoms, okay, I was labeled lazy, stupid procrastinator.
Correct.
Okay? So we had all these symptoms going on, so we needed help. And possibly our mom or our dad or our caregiver was there to help us, and we got even further tethered or attached to this person.
Okay.
So we didn't want to grow up. This is all subconscious because we had somebody doing things for us or helping us.
Mm-hmm.
And in your world and my world, because we're both Italian, and we grew up in a family where hitting happened.
Yeah, absolutely.
The person that does the hitting, we sometimes become attached and tethered to, too, even though we're angry, because we want to keep them happy.
Correct.
We want to do whatever we can.
And when you're younger, you just don't have many options either, you know, like, so when those moments happen,
right,
it's like you don't really have any options. There's nothing else you really know in that world, you know?
Exactly.
But Yeah, and then so, but yeah, you're still attached even though that happened. You know, you just want to make them happy because something.
Because it makes you happy.
Correct, correct. That they're in a good mood. That's absolutely right.
So take it now into adulthood, chronological adulthood.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're not emotionally adults, but we're grown up. So what we do is we seek out people that will either take care of us, okay, like our parent, the parent that we were tethered to did.
Yeah.
Or we can pick somebody who's totally different, still not healthy because it's extremes. It's not in the middle.
That makes sense.
And most of the time, we end up marrying people who are not ADD.
That's true.
Because they're able to, you know, in a very codependent way, help us. And so we become tethered to that person. In the beginning, people love us because we're a lot of fun.
Yeah, correct.
We're out-of-the-box thinkers. We're not linear and progressive, so we can have a good time. And then after a while, the person that we're married to starts to become resentful.
Correct.
Because we're asking them to help us with things, and we're not really growing up. So this is kind of a vicious cycle.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I did the other night at group, where I have most of the time 25 to 30 people that come on a Wednesday night, I gave them a list of things, the steps that are going to be involved in this process of individuation. Okay.
All right.
So the first step is self-awareness.
Okay.
Because if we're not aware of the fact, first and foremost, that we're not grown up, there isn't going to be any change, right?
That's correct, yeah. Just like the book Untethered Soul,
right,
which is a book. If you're out there and you're listening to this, please buy it.
Right, by Michael Singer.
Yeah, by Michael Singer. Justine will tell you. And that's exactly it, self-awareness. That's like the first chapter just about, or one of the first three chapters is about being self-aware, you know.
Right.
The voice inside your head, right?
Voice inside your head is the first chapter, and really it talks about just being aware of those thoughts, you being the subject, the thoughts being the object. But in the process of individuation, we're going to develop the sense of self, which is who we are.
Okay.
So the first step is self-awareness. And what I did for everybody listening out there is I gave out a list of different, I guess you could say, behaviors that we may have that we want to be aware of. So just to name a few, impulsiveness. Are we judgmental? Are we depressed or are we anxious? Do we lack empathy? That's a big one. And deny it. Do we apologize too much to other people? Do we have issues with communication? Do we like to please? Are we pleasers? Do we have habitual lateness? Do we constantly lose things? Are we very forgetful, manic behavior? Do we have addiction? So just name a few things that were on that list, and what I'm asking the members of the group to do, as I would ask all of you, is kind of make a list of things that are related to attention deficit disorder and beyond. So some of the symptoms of the negative symptoms of ADD.
If your ex-girlfriend has all of these, is that a bad thing? I'm just kidding. Sorry. I just saw controlling, manipulative, judgmental. I was like, ouch. Just kidding.
Well, thank God you're out of that relationship.
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, I can name a couple of these. Manipulative is a funny one because I see a lot of that going on today. You know, it's a very promoted thing in many ways, like on shows, you know. People get all manipulative, and then they have these fights, and then it's like a normal thing. It's like okay to be manipulative.
But it's not okay.
It's not. Like, it sucks.
Because most of the things that are on this list, they're very juvenile things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So we want to grow up, so we don't want to be juvenile anymore.
You don't want to be on a TV show, right?
Right. Exactly. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
That's
okay. So self-awareness is the first step in this whole process. Then what we're going to do on Wednesday night, because Carl Jung, who is a therapist, psychologist from the early 60s, who was had a lot of Freudian kind of feel to him too. He talked a lot about individuation, and one of the things he talks about is the mask. So we wear a mask. Okay. And so looking at yourself and saying, what is my mask on the outside? So on the outside of my mask, am I grandiose? Am I a happy person? Am I a salesperson? What kind of things do I exhibit on the outside? Behind the mask, Am I insecure? Am I sad? Am I anxious? Am I depressed? And those are the kind of things that we really want to get at so that the mask that we're wearing is not false. The mask that we wear, I wear now, that
yeah.
I don't have a mask. I am who you see. I mean, that is the person that I am. I don't hide things from people. I just put it out there the way it is. I'm very direct. I am no longer passive-aggressive at all, which
okay.
is dangerous to do.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So the next thing we're going to do, besides the mask piece, is we're going to look at a genogram, which is really the genealogy of the family.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to bring in basically a genogram for everybody, and the circles are men and the squares are women.
Okay.
And we're going to look back at the history of how far back you can remember, whether it's grandparents or great-grandparents.
Oh, that you could remember. So it's not like your genealogy, just what you can remember.
It's everybody. I'm going to give it to everybody in the group. We're all going to do it. And we're going to look at who in the family, really, can you remember started off with addictions or mental disorders? What kind of things were going on in the family on your mother's side, on your father's side? Now look at your siblings. What kind of things were going on that really kept you tethered, connected to these people in a very dysfunctional way?
That's a really good, that's a really interesting perspective. I like that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I remember you said something to me yesterday, and you were like, I think it was something, oh, about my grandma just being, she was nuts, like she was insane. And you were like, well, why didn't it bother you when you were younger? And I was like, oh, well, that's normal, you know? And you were like, what? And I was like, oh, she's just crazy. You know, like I just shook it off, like you know that crazy person you see like walking down the street. It's like, oh, she's just crazy.
Exactly.
And you were like, what's your grandma? You know, and then it's like
because you got used to it.
Yeah,
but
I was used to crazy.
It
wasn't healthy, but like you know, it was like.
Right.
I'm not saying that's good. It was just you know just what it was. You know.
Right. So from this genogram, we're going to discover things maybe that we forgot. And it's going to be a lot of aha moments. Oh, my God, this is why I'm depressed. This is why
yeah.
I have anxiety. You know, my mom had a personality disorder. So I'm going to be working with everybody on these because I think this is something that's going to be important. So, and then we're going to go on to talk about attachment and how far back can you remember. Like, how old were you when you remember that the attachment with your mom or your caregiver or your dad was a positive attachment or not.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So we're going to
okay.
go through some of those attachment issues because I also was discussing with the group last week about attachment theory, and it mentions here, it's really kind of fascinating, that a child with an introvert personality is likely to close him or herself to the outside world. This can develop into attention deficit disorder like behavior.
You know, I have a girl like that at the school I work with who's exactly, perfectly just like that. She sits inside and she's got ADD. She's
yeah.
on her computer all the time, you know.
So this is daydreaming
mm-hmm.
and being inattentive of the world around them. The extrovert personality may behave with preemptive acts of aggression, which are used to neutralize any perceived threats. These are kids that didn't attach properly to the parents.
Okay.
Interpersonal interactions are interpreted in schematic, inaccurate representations. So they don't read them properly because they
okay.
didn't attach. Instead of the healthy state where they respond to reflections of mirroring their actions. That's what I like to do in my practice when I work with kids and adolescents is
mm-hmm.
mirror back to them how they look.
How they look?
Right. You know, not their physical look. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but just
how their behavior
will look.
Affects
yeah.
other people. They project their mental states, the kids do, onto others. This prevents them from being able to perceive the real mental state of other people. So they shut down. They can't do it. So there's a lot of intricate stuff. If any of you out there want to Google attachment theory, you will find some really interesting things, and if you attach it to ADHD when you Google attachment theory, I think you're going to find some really interesting things about how attachment theory can create the ADD behavior, even though it's neurological, the attachment theory exacerbates.
I believe that completely, because there's some people you shouldn't be attached to, and they just drive you an emotional wreck.
Right.
And then that person goes ADD, you know?
Exactly.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And even if they were born with the neurological deficiency in the front of their brain,
yeah,
I believe that it could be lessened by a healthy environment. If the environment isn't healthy.
That's true. I agree with that. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times in situations, especially when kids are growing up, because things aren't, you know, the attachment can really trigger some really bad, you know, ADD, especially
exactly.
if it's not handled right. Absolutely.
Yeah. So from there, after looking at attachment,
yeah,
we're going to talk a little bit about the chapter in the book, chapter 13 in The Untethered Soul,
okay.
that talks a lot about models. You know, what kind of model do we have?
Oh, that was a good one.
We're
with the house and everything, right?
We're trapped in our cages.
Yeah, that was a good one. I like
because
that
we have
chapter.
A fear of rejection or whatever our model is. And so we're going to look at our models as it relates to our parents and where did they come from. Did our parents have those models?
Did
our parents cause us to become perfectionists because what we did was never good enough for them?
I like that theory. I like that because you're taking the because he even got it from Plato. He even said allegory
exactly.
in a cave, and now you're taking it as like you're making the parents the models and like how that affects you
exactly.
as a person. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Yeah, I thought of that a long time ago, but in that sense. But yeah, I like how you're taking it into like a deeper thought.
Yeah,
deeper thought process.
And so then what we're going to do is we're going to get to the three stages that are really involved in individuation, and it's more about codependency. So it's a declaration stage, a separation stage, and a reconnecting stage. So what does that mean? Okay. Declaration is I declare that I am going to separate from this person that I'm tethered to, whether it's a parent or it's a significant other or it's a friend.
Like the U.S. did the Great Britain back in the day, right?
Exactly.
Declaration of Independence style, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
That's right. Just like the Boston Tea Party.
That's the Boston Tea Party.
We're going to have a Boston
Hopefully
tea
not that crazy, right?
Yeah.
Hopefully we're not throwing stuff around the house, right?
No. So we're going to do this, and this is what's so important, is we're going to do this as adults, okay?
Okay.
So in doing it, we're going to announce first to ourselves and then to the people that we're tethered to that this process is absolutely happening.
Okay.
And when we talk to them about this, we're going to stay in the adult place so that we don't escalate and start yelling at them and putting it back onto them. We're taking responsibility here for our part related to the tethering. And we explain to them that what's important is that we become individuated and how important that is for us with attention deficit disorder. In order for us to grow up, and as I did, I am now in control of all my negative symptoms of ADD, and this is why I'm screaming that this is a gift. This is a gift. We are gifted people. We are the elite population, but you'll see it more as a gift as you get in control of your negative symptoms as you grow up.
Okay.
Okay, so the second step in this is separation, and this is when the real separation happens. So we're going to separate at this point emotionally. We're not saying, because if you're married to somebody,
yeah,
you're still very much going to be
in with them.
So here, to separate means to form a distinct boundary between two people. Whether or not we need to separate physically, we certainly need to detach or disconnect from the other person's emotional response.
Okay.
So think about your father.
Yeah, especially when you have to get angry or they get crazy, you just got to, like, be attached from that.
Right.
And not let them get caught up in that. Yeah, that makes
right.
sense.
And just so everybody knows out there, I did look this up on the Internet. I found it on the Internet, and I can't quote exactly where it came from because I don't have it. But if you go on the Internet and you Google individuation, you can find this. So we may also need to do things such as divide our finances as a way to create clearer boundaries, mm-hmm. and we may need to divide responsibility as a way to reestablish who's responsible for what. So we could do this if we were married to somebody. That would be a good thing to do.
Yeah, that would be good.
So here's the purpose. The purpose in separating is to be able to clearly see who you are, which helps you take full responsibility for yourself and your well-being. And that's what happened to me 4.5 years ago when I was going through that terrible time.
Yeah.
I was able to take a step back and look at who I was. I was able to really look at my behaviors and then really start to, because this process doesn't happen very quickly,
mm-hmm.
take responsibility for my behavior. So you learn to take responsibility to motivate yourself. And here's a big one. Self-soothing. Okay. In our population, emotional regulation. Remember, this is a disability of regulation. This is why we're impulsive. This is why we rage at times, because we don't know how to regulate our emotions. So our emotions come over us like a tidal wave.
True.
And did you ever try to get out of a wave? And
yeah.
Imagine a tidal wave. It would be impossible. So this process of separation helps us to learn more about how to regulate our emotions. So, for example, because I used to be somebody who was very volatile, what I learned through my process of individuation was when somebody said something or did something, whoever that was, it could even be my kids, that was hurtful, I didn't react to it. I gave myself a 2-day holding pattern. And so what I did was sat with the emotions that I was feeling, and you would be surprised what happened.
What kind of Italian are you to sit with your emotions?
I know, right? I know.
You must have had a punching bag like in the thing with like or something. I don't believe this.
No. I had to change. See, that's the whole thing. I grew up with the emotions in the Italian stuff, but I really had to grow up. And in growing up, I had to learn how to sit with my emotions for 2 days. And you'd be surprised if you try this, being Italian or not.
Sit with your emotions for 2 days.
You will see that those hurtful emotions lose the power that you gave them. You gave them immediately when the situation happened. And that is a strong part of learning how to regulate your emotions.
Oh, man.
It's hard.
I can't even imagine sitting with something. I don't know. I guess, I guess I kind of do that. It's hard for me to confront. I know you're more confrontational, but.
I used to be, more confrontational. I'm now direct, but not confrontational.
Not confrontational.
No, because I'm kind and assertive when I talk versus,
yeah,
being aggressive. So you're going to learn to take responsibility, to soothe yourself, so to self-soothe, and to recognize that you were using the other person as a distraction. So
that
instead
makes
of
sense.
Really
yeah.
looking at yourself, you were tethered. Even as a kid, as an adolescent, if you think about it, and with all the kids that I work with at adolescence, I can see them using their parents as a distraction. Because that's the person that they most argue with or go after, you know. And a lot of that is they haven't really separated or individuated.
Yeah, and if you notice, like, you ever see, like, oh, I got to tell you this crazy story after, but I saw these parents on a hike, like last week, this parent and his daughter, and they were yelling in this canyon, right? I go on this hike, go on a nature hike, and they're yelling at each other. And you could just see the mother trying to, like, calm down because she's embarrassed. The daughter's, like, yelling at her, and I was just like, they're like, you know, you see people feed off each other is what you're saying, right?
Exactly.
They feed off each other's emotions, and I'm like, that's embarrassing at certain points, you know?
Well, sure it is, especially if you're doing it in a canyon when everybody's trying to take a hike, and usually it's peaceful to take a hike and you're in
yeah.
the moment.
Yeah.
But you can see that when you can't regulate your emotions,
yeah.
how impossible it would be to really try and bring that into the moment if you can't regulate.
Yeah, it's true, because we're like in this peaceful canyon.
Right.
And they're yelling at each other, like, on the corner of, like, New York or in, like, Times Square or something. You know
right.
what I'm saying? Like,
don't go after my state.
I know. I had to throw it in there. I'm sorry.
I know you did.
Kidding, huh?
So let's just go on. So there's the separation piece.
Okay.
And then step 3 in this is It's reconnecting in a positive way. Okay, so after I went through all my individuation process of separating and, you know, growing up and feeling good, I had to reconnect, let's just say, with my two boys in a very positive way, okay, not codependent. And for those of you who are listening, if you really want to get a good book, a powerful book, it's Codependent No More. It really, really helped me to individuate and not be tethered, even to my children.
How did you start that process?
The process for me began with being self-aware. Becoming self-aware, understanding that things that people said about me were true, seeing things about myself that I had never seen before. And I just decided that I needed to become the individual and not be codependent with anybody who was around me.
What about your kids? How did you start the process of just reestablishing like a more positive relationship?
That's a good question. I was very honest with them, and I explained to them the process I was going through, and I sat down with them, and I was very open and told them things about myself that I had never told them before. That was appropriate because at the time they were 19 and 23.
Okay.
But I apologized for my past behavior, and I told them that I was going to work on myself, becoming an adult and an individual, and that I wasn't going to be tethered to them anymore. You know, they were going to be doing their own thing. I'm here for you, but I wasn't going to be chasing after them, calling them 4 and 5 times a day, yelling at them because I thought things they were doing weren't good for them. It was their life. The 19-year-old took it a little bit slower because he was still only 19 and heading off to college, but it really, really helped my relationship with my older son because we were very enmeshed, and he had a substance abuse issue, and it was kind of messy. And then this year he was diagnosed with bipolar 2, and he's doing much better because he's on the right meds. So, yeah, it was difficult, but, you know.
You just opened up and were pretty honest.
I opened up, and I was honest, and they had to forgive, and, you know, and because I did some things. I was never abusive to my children. I don't want anybody to misunderstand, but I was a child. And when you're a child, you can't always do what's right for your kids. So in the third step, so we're reconnecting to these people that we've separated from emotionally.
Okay.
And it's making new agreements with these people, like I did with my son, making them easy, not difficult, renegotiating some things with them. And it's during the stage that possibly you recognize for the first time ever the person that you really are. And that's what's so exciting because, you know, all the masks that I was wearing, the bravado and the volatile and all the grandiose stuff, that was to cover up my own basic insecurities. So after this part was over, here's the most difficult thing I had to do. There's this little child that is inside of all of us. There's a little Anthony.
Correct.
There's a little Justine. And at the time, I was with a very, very powerful therapist who said, you know, if you really want to do this process, and I brought it to him, the last step is to write a letter to this little child that lives inside of you who really deserves a lot of compassion and love. And instead, what I was giving her was a lot of anger because I knew that periodically she was coming up more than she needed to. And instead of understanding why, I was angry. So I had to write a letter, kind of like a letter of her and I together. So, do you remember when this happened? And these were some very difficult times that I went through, that she went through with me as a child. And a lot of it concerned the mental disorders that I, you know, lived with and had to deal with.
Oh, yeah.
And other things that happened to me, too, as well. So this was a powerful letter. It was ended up being 13 pages, and the funny thing is, when the therapist talked to me about doing it, I kind of laughed and thought, this is a joke. It was the hardest thing I ever did. But the hardest thing was reading this 13-page letter to somebody else who was the therapist. And I don't think I've ever sobbed.
Well, I could barely write a 10-page paper in college, but still, that's pretty good. That's a lot, because you had a lot on your mind. You had a lot to say.
A lot to say, because I was 54 at the time.
Yeah.
So I'd had a long life, and there were other things, you know, times when I was adult that I knew this little girl was still around. So wrote about that. So anyway, I read it, I ripped it up, I threw it out, and really have to tell you, I woke up the next morning an adult. And I will put my hand on my heart a lot during the day, and a lot of it is I always want to give compassion to that little child now who lives, still sleeps inside me.
Mm-hmm.
Does she try at times to come out and say hi? Yeah, and I love to have fun. You know me, I laugh. And,
yeah.
But when she comes out in ways that she shouldn't be out is when I give her compassion and put her back to sleep, because that's where she belongs. So at the end of the whole process, you're going to then go back and do the self-awareness all over again.
Okay.
Just to see, and what you're going to find, what's very interesting, is that there are things now that you're going to see that you didn't see before.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. That's like totally looking back like upon all those things about, you know, trying to grow up. And then once you do it, attempting it, you could look back and see all the things you didn't see. Yeah, that's absolutely, I could totally see that.
Right. So once this process is over, and if we really embrace the process,
mm-hmm.
can't just do it and expect it's going to work on its own.
Yeah.
You have to embrace it, and takes time, you know?
You got to go in for it, right?
You really do, because, I mean, here I am 4.5 years into it,
okay.
doing great, but it took me a long time to get this place. So what happens, too, is after we become individuated, we end up with a strong sense of internal validation. So let me explain that.
Okay.
I no longer look to people on the outside for validation of who I am, of what I do.
Well, you don't want to get your face lifted and all that, and your hair, and spend all this money on everything now? I'm just teasing.
Yeah, I know. No, I know. No, I don't look. I don't. What I mean by looking to the outside is people who are going to, you know, talk to me about maybe something I did that they don't like or whatever. And I'll listen and I'll apologize if I think, you know, I've hurt somebody because, hey,
it was misinterpreted.
I have good feelings about myself inside.
Mm-hmm.
And in having internal validation, it doesn't matter what other people think or say about you.
Because you're just trying to do,
exactly.
So everybody misinterprets things a lot of times.
Right. And I I think that that's a big piece of the growing up process of becoming an individual is internal validation. We also develop internal motivation because if you remember, I think I brought it up last week when I had the Scattered book out, Dr. Gabor Mate wrote that book, and he really speaks a lot about teenagers and how important it is for teenagers to become autonomous. He uses the word autonomous. I use individuate.
Okay.
And what he says is there isn't a chance of internal motivation until somebody becomes autonomous. So for those of you who are listening out there who have teenagers, this whole process of individuation has to happen for them or they're never going to grow up. So you can't make they're growing up about you. You have to make it about them.
It's very important. I agree with that completely. Teenagers especially, they just want to try lots of stuff, but I agree. Teenagers the most.
Right.
Definitely have to be allowed to explore. You know, but not too crazy, but explore a little bit.
Exactly. And so I think we might have a phone call on hold. Is that right? My producer? Is that correct? Because I thought I saw one on hold here. Because I would love to take it if it is. Okay, let me see. Um, Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi. Who am I speaking with?
Hi, this is David.
Hey, David. How are you? This is Justine.
Hi, Justine.
Are you there?
Let me see. Yeah, there. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay, wonderful. I was listening to you talking about autonomy, and I'm not sure if you talked about it this evening, but I recently come aware of a call.
Okay, are you there, David?
And yeah, I'm here.
Can you repeat what you just said? Because you're breaking up.
I recently heard about a concept called individuation, where people individuate.
Yeah.
I don't know how it ties into being autonomous, but I'd like to kind of learn more about that. I just wonder if you can tell me and others that have ADHD and ADD in what specific ways one can become individuated, and then more specifically, how can that improve the lives of ADD types, and then also what ADD behaviors will we be able to overcome?
Okay, so it's interesting because I was just having a conversation about individuation with my co-host here, Anthony. We were talking a lot about it, and I became individuated over the past 4.5 years. The process is intense. It's not an easy process. There are steps involved in the process, and the first step is self-awareness, just becoming aware of behaviors or, you know, depression, anxiety, things that, you know, you're struggling with in your own life. And it's because what I believe is that when we were young, we most likely were tethered to people with some sort of mental disorder. Doesn't necessarily have to be extreme. Could have been depression or anxiety. And in that tethering process, it's very difficult for us to pull away, to separate, to become autonomous or individuate. And so what happens is as we get older, because of homeostasis, we don't want any change, we end up marrying or being with people that are very much like the people we were tethered to when we were young, or the direct opposite. And then you layer on top of that the ADHD that we all have, the symptoms of ADHD, the behaviors related to it, and at first, the person that we're with, if they're not ADD, is very excited that we're in their life because we're fun. We like to laugh, tell stories. We're out-of-the-box thinkers. But eventually, they develop resentment because we're still that little kid. We haven't grown up. So in growing up, what happens is we take responsibility for our own behaviors. And we also become in control of the negative symptoms of ADD. So for myself, I no longer procrastinate. I set goals. I follow through. And I'm very focused. And here's another reason why I'm focused. I use mindfulness and I use meditation. And in order to really embrace the idea of mindfulness and staying in the moment and not engaging in our thoughts, we really need to individuate and become an adult first. That's how the process works. Are you there?
I think we lost him.
I think I lost him.
I'm still here.
Okay. So did that answer your question?
Yes, very, very much so. I think that when you speak of dealing with spouses, that's certainly something that I've experienced. I'm not sure if I can say that my wife is like my parents or just the opposite, but
right.
Certainly you know, we've gone through some struggles and we're working on things. And I think as I change and then do this gain this autonomy and individuation, I can finally grow up.
Right.
I think I appreciate you talking about this, and I certainly definitely want to learn more. So,
does it make sense to you as I'm discussing it?
Yes, because it has to do with the fact that we don't, we're still tethered to somebody else and we're not
exactly.
our own person. And
right.
I find that when I procrastinate, I am not being responsible. I kind of know that, but there is just kind of a child in me that's just not behaving properly.
Right.
And there's nobody there or there's nothing internal inside of me that tells me to get off the stick and get it done.
Right, because the other piece of that, too, is the regulation piece. So this is a disability of regulation, ADD, ADHD,
mm-hmm.
and in order to regulate not only our emotions, but our ability to get things done in a methodical way can be very difficult for us because we're impulsive and we see something like a squirrel that catches our attention and we're off and running on something else. So we tend to exit and then we make excuses for it, right?
Well, I'm trying not to make excuses,
right.
but I do exit and I'm working on that aspect. But I think the procrastination is, I never thought of procrastination being tied into the idea of not being autonomous and not being individuated, to use
right.
that term.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
well,
because
all if you think about it, when you're an adult, you're going to get things done for you. Because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
When you're a child or juvenile, you make excuses about not getting things done. And that's okay because we've done that our whole life and we're still kids, so that'll fly. That's what we've always done. But when you're an adult, you can't do that anymore because you own you, if you understand that. You're in charge of you. There's nobody else that's telling you things about yourself because you won't allow it. So you're
mm-hmm.
very different how you look at your world, and especially the world of ADD.
Wonderful. Justine, thank you so much. I'll listen to the rest of your broadcast on the air and off the phone.
Okay. Thanks, David, for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So that was great.
That's true. I agree, because I always had the back of the hand for me. You know, like that's the regulation we were saying, you know, like our, I think in some parts maybe I'm waiting for, like you said, like the adult would just do it because they don't want to procrastinate, whereas
right.
when you're younger, I guess I would wait for somebody to like hit me, and then I would do it, you know, waiting for that Italian hand to smack you.
But
like,
what
why don't
about
you go
now?
Do that, smack, ah.
But what about now? Because yesterday,
yeah.
because we talk, Anthony and I talk, and a lot
mm-hmm.
during the week, and you know he comes to group two on Wednesday nights, and
yeah.
he's really working on himself. But we talked about a test that you want to take that for a while you've been procrastinating.
Yeah, you know, for me, where my ADD really kicks in hardcore, at least I feel, is when it comes to my academics. I've had such
boring.
Yeah, it's not so much that it's boring or not engaging. I know a ton of stuff, and I read books, and I engage with the teacher a lot. But like you said, when it comes down to sitting down and then looking at a paper and then writing something, I cannot do that for the life of me without
right.
like just zoning out and thinking about everything that's not there. Because I'm not doing anything with my hands. Like, I get to go with a guitar and like play that for like a half hour,
that's
an hour
it.
Easily. Because, yeah, because it's like I'm doing something with my hands, you know,
right.
or it's just different, you
right.
know. But
yeah.
when it comes to like sitting there and studying and like focusing, it's like, ugh.
No, because it's very easy for us in this population to exit, you know, and one of the biggest exits of all is the internet. The internet is a powerful exit because we can be doing something, typing something up for school or, you know, for the group I do or for another client, and all of a sudden I could go to Facebook or, you know, other places.
I do that, yeah, I
right.
think about it.
Right, but I don't do that anymore, being an adult.
Yeah, you know, I'm still.
I'm a drag. What can I tell
you? No. I don't. I need that hand to slap me back in the head. Still, I'm kidding. Huh?
All right, I'll call your father.
Oh God.
Anyway, so we have a question from the audience. So it says, "I am a 31-year-old male. How do I develop my own internal validation? What steps can I take to do this?" Okay, so I don't know whether or not it doesn't sound like this 31-year-old male is individuated, because if he was, then he would have a sense of internal validation. Mm-hmm. So I guess I would suggest that the first step is to become individuated, become autonomous. And what I'm going to try to do is post these steps for everybody who's listening on my Facebook page, which is Miss ADD, and also on my website, which you can get to at missadd.com. So I'll do that. And as I do things with the group, I'll also post that. I'm also going to start a blog on my website very soon. So maybe this is a way for all of us to kind of do this together, because I do run this group on Wednesday nights, but I want to help everybody who's listening. So to this 31-year-old male, this is a great question, but the step involved in this is you have to become individuated before that internal validation occurs. So if you want to take a look at my Facebook page, my website, I'll be setting up some of the steps involved in this whole process. And we may, Anthony and I may decide in a couple of weeks we want to revisit this topic, because it's a big topic.
Yeah, it's huge, and I see where you're going with it. It's definitely, it's the long process for a lot of people.
It really is.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
And it just depends how attached and what you're attached to. It's a process of really looking at stuff, because everybody's different in how they need to separate, you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, for me, I need to get, you know, my academics and some of my emotional stuff down, and other people might have other things, you know. It's just longer roads, you know, to haul, you know.
Yeah, and I think the whole process of just looking back and understanding what happened for me was powerful.
Yeah, because and I do that, but I think you're right, and the fact of, like, you're writing it down and, like, really organizing it is a really good way. I think I like your style, because
right.
I did it with just thinking about it, but really organizing it and writing it down, I think, is a great way. And the letter, it sounds like an awesome idea.
Yeah, so we're gonna be doing this over the next 10 weeks at group. So I'm
yeah, come
gonna,
on over.
Yeah, because if any of you are living in the Torrance area, or we have people that come to our group from Orange County and as far up as Oxnard. So wherever you are in Southern California, you will not find a group like this group anywhere, because we do work from the inside out. This is not your typical ADHD group or ADD group. So let me give you the address. It's 2785 Pacific Coast Highway. The name of the place is the Center for Learning Unlimited. It's actually a school. If you Google it, you can see it's a school for ADD and autistic children and adolescents. And they have been kind enough to allow us to use their facility. So it's every Wednesday from 7:30 to 9. We ask for a $5 donation, and I'm usually there at 7. So if any of you in the listening area want to come over and join us, Anthony, we have a lot of fun with that group.
Yeah, they're a pretty comfortable group, too. It's not like an intimidating group.
Great
or anything.
Group.
Yeah, they're good people.
So we have another question from the audience. So I am 38 years old. I'm a 38-year-old man, and my mother calls me nearly every day. And if she doesn't call, I need to call her, or she gets upset with me. What's that? Is that tethering? Yes. Whoever this 38-year-old man is.
Man. Sounds like a mom's tethering.
Yeah, it's really sad. Well, listen.
I've heard of this before.
Here's what you have to do. You have to separate and emotionally separate. So what you're going to do, if you're comfortable with this, and I, you know, don't like to dictate, but this is advice, you have to let your mom know that you're in the process of separating emotionally from her and how important it is for you, because I can almost guarantee you that you aren't grown up at 38 because of what's going on with mom. If your mom is sick and you need to attend to her, that's one thing. I think everybody has to take care of their parents at some time in their lives. But if she's not, but she's just controlling and wants to speak to you every day, you can't allow this to happen anymore. So my suggestion would be to let her know that the phone calls are going to be weaned down. So I would go to probably 3 times a week to start out with, so that you wean her off in a comfortable way. But eventually you want to get to once a week. Once a week is a healthy way. My older son is 25 and a half, and I talk to him once a week. I don't talk to him. My other son, who's 22, maybe twice a week, because he's still in college. But it's that kind of thing. Your mom has to let go. You have to help her learn the process of letting go. You're not going to be mean in the process. You're not going to yell at her and scream. You're just going to tell her, as an adult, what it is that you need. And you need to really separate. Don't you think, Anthony? That's not...
Yeah, I've heard of this can, like, ruin relationships and stuff, too. Like if your mom's calling you all the time and you're, like, involved with the girl, she's going to want to know who's that and then why is your mom calling so much.
Right.
It's not a normal thing by any means.
No.
So, yeah, you got to separate. Get some caller ID.
Yes.
Tell her, you know.
Yeah. And I just think you can be very kind to her when you do it. But I think it's really, really important. So I want to thank you for the question, and I hope that my answer was satisfactory. And now here's another question from the audience. Our son has ADHD with a touch of OCD. He's 17 years old and is in the second year of high school. What can we do to help him individuate so he will do well in college and in life? Okay, great question. And I'm so glad that you're asking about what can you do. So here's what I would suggest. First of all, try to get him some help for the OCD. So I would probably try to contact a psychiatrist. I don't know if he's on a stimulant medication because you didn't let me know that. But if you have not visited a psychiatrist, I would do so, because the OCD can really be exhausting and something that can really stop him from wanting to individuate, because
that's true.
It's a very, very difficult anxiety disorder to have. And I would suggest, if you don't know a lot about it, that you start doing some reading about it.
If he's got it pretty bad, it's really hard.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, it's very difficult. So I would start there before we even discuss what's next with the individuation process, because I think you want to get that under control. And once the ADD and OCD are under control, also, if you're in the Los Angeles area, I would love to help you with this, and I'd be more than happy to see your son. I can also give you some recommendations for psychiatrists. If you're not in this area, then I would suggest that you do try to find either a coach or a therapist that can help your son really talk about how he's feeling. Not only about the ADD, but about the OCD. Really, really important piece of this.
Yeah.
And then the individuation process can happen after we get him more stable. So thank you for the question.
Yeah, I'd say the OCD is the hardest.
Yeah.
By far.
Yeah.
I know I have a girl who's OCD, and it seems like it's pretty awful. I mean, thing to deal with, you know, it's not impossible, but it can be really hard, especially the combination. Some of these are the combinations, OCD and ADD.
You know, it's interesting, Anthony, but mm-hmm. I see a lot of kids and adolescents, my own kids,
mm-hmm.
they're both ADHD with OCD.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, one is OCD with bipolar. I mean, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of different things that can occur. And I did this a couple of weeks ago. So for those of you who missed my co-occurring disorder show, it's on iTunes, and I think you should really take a listen to it, because you will see that there's many, many things that can go hand in hand with ADD.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that you have told me that you struggle a little bit with anxiety and depression.
Yeah, I do. It has its moments. The doctor told me it was genetic, you know.
Yeah.
In nature, so yeah, but I do. Sometimes it just like happens, you know.
Yeah. So listen, we're going to wrap up, because believe it or not, I can't believe this hour is practically over.
Yeah.
So I hope all of you enjoyed this show on individuation. Again, Anthony and I are going to revisit this in a couple of weeks, because this is a lot of information for all of you to take in. So I want to remind you again that you can go to iTunes. This will be posted on iTunes tomorrow, and there's a lot of other shows that are there at the same time. I want to thank all of you for your phone calls, for your messages, your questions. I really enjoy doing the show every week. I want to remind all of you that ADD is a gift. We are among the elite population. We're just wonderful people. Very, very creative. And again, as we sign off, Anthony, if you want to say goodnight.
All right, yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Justine, always a pleasure.
This is great. I enjoy having you. And for those of you who are listening, just remember, please stay in the moment. And good night.